Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
Well, in April of 2013, my grandfather on my mom's side passed away. He had been sick with dementia for a number of years. We actually were living with him temporarily while we discovered this, which is an interesting moment of family dynamics to discover that you're in the midst of. And so he passed away then a few years later after complications like dementia brings about. He passed away actually here in Park Ridge at the old St. Matthew's Nursing Home, now Avanterra, at the in-hospice unit that was there. So naturally, after someone passes in a family, you get to the conversation about how are we going to celebrate this person? And we get to that conversation in our family rather quickly because, believe it or not, there's a few pastors amongst us. Family dinners are quite interesting at times. So specifically, my uncle, who at the time was an active hospital chaplain, Episcopal priest, had a we were asking, do you want to be involved with the service? And my uncle said, I don't think so. I don't think that I can put myself together in order to be a part of the service. And then the question came around to me, what were you going to do in the service? And I said, well, I'll preach, because preachers got to preach, right? At the time, I was an associate pastor, and so I probably didn't know any better, but I had volunteered for this to the family, saying that I would give the sermon that day, a combination of eulogy and homily, bringing together both of those things on behalf of the family. And so we agreed upon that and a few other things, and we then prepared ourselves for the service. So the day of the service came, and we arrived at the church, and I did what I would do, is arrive and check in with the pastor who was going to be leading the service, and got myself up to the pulpit to check it out, did a mic check, you know, the important things, and then we began the service. And then we got to the point where we were in the midst of the service, and we were leading up to the time where the homily, the sermon, was supposed to come, and I got up to the pulpit, and I gave the eulogy that day, delivered the message of hope for the family and for all who were here that day. It might have been one of my finest moments as a communicator, as a preacher in my career to that point, to have that opportunity to speak for the family and on behalf of my grandfather. And I gotta say that I don't remember much of that moment, but afterwards, some of the family came up to me and said thank you, and my uncle in particular came up to me and he said, I don't know how you did that. He said, I just could never have imagined being able to deliver that kind of a message for my father, for your grandfather. And I looked at my uncle and I said, well, thank you. It was an honor to be a part of this. And I said to him, I'm just glad that I was able to keep it together during this moment. Now, looking back on it, I can tell you that as the grandchild, you have some distance from the person that gives you a little perspective that is easier to get through a moment like that. There also might be something wrong with me, by the way. You know, I think about this sometimes, how there's an emotional part of that moment that I may have been a little disconnected with, and we can discuss that with my therapist later. But the reality is I was able to get through it, but less because of those things and more because of who my grandfather was. I maybe gave a sermon that day, but he's the hero of the story. Granddaddy, as we call him, Granddaddy was an amazing man. Now, behind him was a more amazing woman, let's be honest, my grandmother, who had sadly passed before. But by the time we got to celebrating Granddaddy's life, what we had was a record of a man who had lived a future-proof life. We had stories upon stories about ways that he had invested in every one of the family members, and not just every one of the family members, but so many other people in his life. He had lived out a legacy of one person who could be celebrated so easily, so when it came time to share the story of his life and how God had been at work, there was a beautiful story to share. Now, my grandfather, like any fully devoted follower of Jesus, wasn't perfect, but over time, he progressively began to live out a life that was living into having a future-proof legacy. He invested in what mattered most, and especially by the time the grandchildren were around, he had learned a lot of lessons, and he had learned a lot of love, and he had a lot of lessons and a lot of love to share. And we were able to celebrate that because he had dedicated himself to that which mattered most. He had dedicated himself to leaving a legacy of a beautiful future. Now, this question of leaving a legacy of about a beautiful future is something that we started to talk about last week, if you were here. We specifically talked about last week how, as a church, as a group of people, God wants us to live into the future that God has given to us. But that calling that God gives to each one of us as a group of people, isn't just for us as a group, it also is true for us individually. That God has a future that God wants for each one of us to be beautiful. That God has a future that God wants for us to be one that is future-proof. So that when our day comes and when someone is standing up in front of a group of people or remembering us individually, that they have a legacy to talk about that is filled with the things that matter most. And that's the concern that Jesus was bringing about during this one time that he was teaching, is this concern about leaving a legacy that is invested in the things that matter most. He was teaching the people then about how to have a future-proof legacy, as it were, so that it was possible for them to be remembered for what actually matters as opposed to what they think matters. And that's the thing that Jesus was teaching about in this moment in the Sermon on the Mount that we heard a moment ago. And now Jesus was giving a much longer sermon, as it were, in Matthew's chapter 5 through 7. And he drills down on so many important things that if you were to talk about all of them, you would be together forever. And we're not going to do that. I want to focus in on just this one thing that Jesus talks about, this one lesson that Jesus gives to the people then and still is timeless and true for us today, about what it means to leave a legacy about the things that matter most. What does it mean to have a story of your life that is so much more than the sum of what you gained, but rather how you lived? And so that's what Jesus was talking about when he was speaking to the crowd that day. Now, the way that Jesus goes about doing this is something that is just very important for us to be considering. And so I want to follow just along with what Jesus was teaching and how he taught it, because the way he structured it and the logic that he was following is very true for us still today. There are other times where what Jesus was teaching, you know, needs a step or two of translation or transition from 2,000 years ago to today, but this is one of those instances where there's apparently a timeless struggle that people have that Jesus was addressing that goes right to us today as well. And so here's what Jesus did. You heard it a moment ago. He was teaching, and he says to them then and to us today, do not store treasures up in heaven where moth and rust will decay them. Now, immediately when he would have been teaching that, the people would have heard a specific encouragement for them. They would have heard him teaching about this, and where it says moth and rust was actually one word for them in that day. And it would have been more a sense of don't store up treasures where things like moths and insects like locusts or termites can destroy them. That's specifically what is being driven after there, is this idea of animals or insects that would eat things and then spit them out. So we hear those terms and we think of moths, right? If you've ever cleaned out a drawer that hasn't been opened in a long time or a closet that hasn't been opened, what do you find sometimes? Moths. Or you find the smell of mothballs, depending on which generation you're talking about. That's what Jesus was driving after a little bit in this moment. Do not store up treasures in the place where they can get eaten and spit out, because it'll be worthless. So that's the easy part, right? Don't do that, he says. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to store up treasures in heaven where they cannot be destroyed by insects. Or he says also to not be stolen, because that's where it matters the most. Store up treasures in heaven, because that's where what you invest in can be future-proof. And then he follows it up with a real strong kicker, right? He says, because wherever you store your treasures, there too will be your heart. So Jesus is driving after this timeless lesson for the people then about what it means to invest themselves, what it means to invest themselves in that which really matters, for two very clear reasons. One is the question of what's our legacy going to be? And the other question is, where's our heart going to be? Now, for that question of where's our heart going to be, Jesus is always driving after that one, right? He's always concerned about where our heart is because he wants our hearts to be filled with what Jesus wants for us, which is lives filled with love, lives filled with hope, lives filled with meaning. And so Jesus knows what we all know, which is still true today, that if we invest ourselves in stuff, that that's going to fail us. That if we invest ourselves in the acquisition of things or the piling up of things, we know that that's going to fail us. That one's the common sense, right? We need to be reminded of that because in a consumer culture that we live in today, it's really easy, isn't it, to get caught up in the trap of buy more, buy more, buy more, to be happy, happy, happy. And then what happens, right, is we buy more, and then we're not so happy. And then we have to deal with the stuff that we bought, and we're even less happy than we were when we bought it in the first place. Right? This happens. But Jesus has another concern, right? Is what are we investing ourselves in? Where are we storing up our treasures? Because he's concerned about where do we put our trust and where do we put our hope? And Jesus is inviting us to make sure that we're investing ourselves in the things that will last. Jesus is inviting us to invest ourselves in the things that will stand the test of time. And specifically, I think Jesus is inviting us to invest ourselves in people. That Jesus is inviting us also to invest ourselves in organizations and efforts that will last beyond ourselves. Now, how do we get to this conclusion based on where and how Jesus is talking about this? If you think for just a moment with me about how Jesus is going about this again, he's teaching where he wants us to store up our treasures. And he wants us to store up our treasures in heaven. And if we're supposed to store up our treasures in heaven, right, then it means we want to be investing ourselves in things that are of eternal significance. That's what heaven would have designated in this specific place. Now, Jesus had other times where he was talking about the eternity encompassing, and he would talk about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. But when they talked about heaven, it was also a way to talk about eternity. And so Jesus was wanting us to invest ourselves then and now in things that have eternal significance. And when we put ourselves into a framework of what has eternal significance, then we can put ourselves into clearing our way to finding what do we want to invest ourselves in. And the two things that have eternal significance are people and the things that live beyond us, the things that live beyond our lifetime. And if we could angle ourselves and frame ourselves up in this way of thinking, maybe we can further invest ourselves in the things that will last, and the things that are future-proof, and the things that are going to make a difference beyond the one life we have. Because God wants us to make the most of the one life we have, and part of that is leaving a future-proof legacy. Now, if we think for just a moment of how could we do that with the people around us, the question of how do we invest in people is also a question of time and priority, isn't it? When we invest in the people that we love and the people that we know, we invest in their future, not just in ours. We invest in their future. And there's many different people that we can best invest ourselves in. And there's certainly value in investing yourself in any person that you choose. But I think if we think about what lives beyond us, we want to think about how do we invest ourselves in the next generation, right? Now, that can be your kids. That can be your grandkids. If you don't have kids or grandkids, that can be any young person in your life. But when we invest in the kids and grandkids and the young people in our lives, we really make an investment that lasts beyond ourselves. We invest ourselves through spending time with them. We invest ourselves through teaching them what it is to be a spiritual person, perhaps in our case, a follower of Jesus. We can invest ourselves in them emotionally by being healthy ourselves so that we can give an emotionally healthy legacy to them. Or how about investing in our families, if we're talking about kids and families for a minute? What if we invested ourselves in emotionally and spiritually healthy families? That's a legacy that keeps on giving. If you have to work on yourself so you can be a better parent, a grandparent, that's not selfish. That's investing in them. Being the best version of yourself helps leaves a legacy. Because if we can look back on the lives of the people that invested in us, what are we going to say at the end? Man, I am so glad Dad worked 80 hours a week so I could have all this stuff that I can't even remember he gave me anymore. Or what if we stand up there and say, you know what? Dad was home. Mom was home. Dad made it a priority to spend time with me. Dad coached me. Dad helped me with my homework. Mom provided a beautiful home. Mom provided meals. Mom provided all the things we needed. They were spiritually present for us. They were emotionally present for us. They were physically present for us. That's a legacy that will live on in our kids, our grandkids, any young person that you invest in, that will live beyond. And you know what'll happen? That follows you. That follows you as a treasure in heaven. God will love us unconditionally when we get to that point, but God will also know what we did with this life. And when we invested in people, we invest in a future-proof legacy. And that's a beautiful thing for us to keep in mind. Now, the other thing that God can encourage us to do is also to invest in organizations and in events and in ministries or whatever it might be, in efforts that live beyond the life that we have. And this one, I think, is very important for us today in our day and age where there's so much uncertainty. One of the things that we can do with the lives that we have is invest in groups and organizations and efforts that are going to make the world a better place. And not just make the world a better place now, although we need a lot of that, but also invest in a way that is going to continue to make the world a better place. And that's a gift that is one that can keep on living. And that's a gift that is future-proof. Now, if you think about what that means, it means that we need to be carefully considering how do we invest the resources that we do have. Some of that is finance, of course. We want to ask ourselves, what we are giving ourselves to, our money to, is it going to make the world a better place? We want to ask ourselves, is the time that we're spending going to make the world a better place? Are we excited about the way in which when we tell people what we're doing, that it gives us a sense of making the world a better place? These are some of the questions that I ask of myself when I consider, how I'm at supporting organizations and efforts. Is it really creating a future-proof legacy? So that when my day comes, people will be able to stand up there and say, you know what, my dad, my grandpa, my friend, whatever it might be, he invested in me, but he also invested in the future. And boy, are we grateful. They're going to stand up there and talk about you. They're gonna find themselves saying beautiful things about what you invested yourself in. They're not gonna talk about your 401k. They're not gonna talk about the returns you got during the economic boom, but what are they gonna talk about? Who you invested in and the groups you spent your time with. Because when we think about those things, that can add up to our future-proof legacy. So as we go through the days that God has given to us, we wanna ask ourselves, does my calendar actually reflect what I want my legacy to be? Does the way I spend my time, does the way I spend my resources actually add up to the story that I want to be told about me? This isn't a selfish thing to be considering the story that's going to be told. It's a real thing to be thinking about the story that's going to be told. And are you writing a story that you want to be told? Are we writing a story that we want to be told? And if we follow the teaching that Jesus gives to us, if we invest ourselves in treasures in heaven, the things that won't be destroyed by this life, we can be assured that we are leaving ourselves a future-proof legacy. And when we do this, here's what happens. We have a celebration of life like we did on Friday. Last week, as I mentioned before, we lost a church member, Elfrida, and she had lived over 90 beautiful years. We got the notice of her passing, and we reached out to the family, and we scheduled a conversation to plan her service. So I got together with the family on Wednesday to talk about the service and figure out what we were going to do to celebrate her life. And we sat down, and here's what happened. I thought we'd be spending the normal hour, an hour and a half together. We spent almost 3 hours together because they had so many stories of the way that Elfrida had invested in their life. The way that she was a beautiful wife, a devoted mother, an amazing grandmother, who valued experiences and education and family times. They would go spend family vacations on the Boundary Waters in Minnesota without indoor plumbing. You know why? Because that was the best vacation you could have, apparently. And then another thing happened. They said, okay, so here's who we want to include in the service. All three kids, Gene, Rodney, and George, said, we're going to give eulogies to talk about our mom. And five grandchildren. We have five grandchildren of hers that we need to include in the service because they all want to celebrate grandma's life. Now that is a future-proof legacy. When your kids and your grandkids and the people that gather to celebrate her life have so much to say that three people have to say it, and that all the grandkids want a way to celebrate grandma. Elfrida was a very serious and sincere follower of Jesus. I can think of her at this moment because we just celebrated her life. She left and lived a life that had a future-proof legacy ahead of her. She invested herself in the things that Jesus wanted her to be investing in. She followed Jesus' example and teachings. So let's also continue to follow the example Jesus gave to us and the teachings that Jesus gave to us. And maybe we all can leave a future-proof legacy that God wants for us.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.